I'm Drea.
I'm Meg.
I'm Tina.
And I'm Jess. And this is Pardon My Stash. Welcome to Pardon My Stash, a podcast about knitting, the fiber arts, and how awesome it is.
Woo.
Before we get into this week's topic, let's share what we're working on right now. Drea?
Rackne shawl. Verily Knits. Claire Slade.
Me too.
With moon yarn.
I am working on the Arachne shawl by Claire Slade / Verily Knits. I am using Plies and Hellhounds
Penny
in Flower Moon and Nightmares plus 10. I just noticed the plus 10 on there. It's extra nightmares.
Extra.
Just to be sure I've had enough.
Yeah, have you seen the tag?
I do, and now I'm like, I thought mine was a typo. I didn't think it was an actual plus 10.
It says nightmares plus 10.
Oh, huh. Okay. Well, there is a modifier on the nightmares.
Listen, you don't know.
Extra nightmares.
Extra nightmares for you.
That's funny. Meg?
I'm on the struggle bus.
That's fair.
Me too.
I have not... to date, I have not been able to finish a single project this year. I have not been able to focus on a single project this year. So I started a new one because that's how I roll, apparently. So right now I'm working on, I just started tonight, The Impressionist Shawl by Helen Stewart. And I've had the yarn for this for a really long time, and I just finally decided tonight was the night. And I'm making it out of ash and bumble, meadow fingering. And off the top of my head, I don't know the other two colorways, but the one I'm currently using is called Water Lilies.
It's a pretty colorway.
It's really pretty. I love this yarn. I've had this yarn for almost 2 years now.
Yeah, wow.
And for whatever reason, I have never picked up the, and I knew when I bought the yarn that I wanted it for this shawl. That's why I picked it. And I just never buckled down and did it. But this is like a really, it's a really user-friendly pattern. One of the things I like about Helen Stewart's patterns is that not everything is charted, but the directions for every single row and the stitch count for every single row are knit out.
Nice.
No math involved at all. So like, you know, when you put down your pattern for a while, maybe this is just me. I don't think it's just me though. And you go back to it and you pick up your row counter and you're like, okay, I'm on row 60. But it's a pattern, and now you have to figure out what row 60 was.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that with this. You can literally just look. It will tell you how many stitches you're supposed to have on the needle and exactly what you're supposed to be doing in row 60. And
that's
I really love that about her patterns. So we'll see where this goes. I mean, by next session, I may be doing something totally different because it's just been my year. But hey, yeah, we're going with it. Jess, what you working on?
I am working on Between the Dragon and His Rep by Kathleen Sperling, and I'm on the last edge before the border, or last border before the edge.
Jeez.
I don't know. So I've got like 5 rows left, and then I start the garter end, and there's actually decreases, like there were increases to start and decreases to end, and then I have to steek it.
Oh.
So we'll see how that goes.
It's gonna look amazing.
It's massive.
Every time I had to change, I had to do a new yarn thing, I did it in the steeking section, so I would have less to worry about, or I was hoping I would have less to worry about. So there's a ton of just like yarn ends hanging out here because I'm not weaving them in if I'm just cutting them anyway.
That's fair.
So that's how I did that, and yeah, so we are getting there. It is huge.
It's like a blanket at this point.
I guess we're supposed to steek it first and then block it. And then, yeah, it's weird. So, and then you like tie the little ends and then, yeah, that's how that goes.
Are you going to reinforce the steek before you do it?
I might. So I'm using superwash. So supposedly, if you're not going to do like the crocheted reinforcement, you can needle felt, and I have plenty of those.
I was gonna
supplies.
Say, well, I guess we know what you're gonna do.
So I'm probably gonna do a very minor needle felt and see how that works, just as sort of like, because it says you don't need to. Like, basically, the way this one is set up is you sneak it and you actually want to unravel a bunch of it. And then you tie it, like you basically create tassels and you tie them all off. You don't necessarily need the sneaked edge, but I may, like I said, do it just as a in case.
And I've done all this work and I don't want to watch it just
I also like stabbing
unravel.
Stuff with the needle. I don't know.
Yeah, you do.
So
well, you could like stab it or steak it or whatever. I don't know what steaking is, so just ignore everything I'm saying. It. I know, but like I don't know how to set it up, so just ignore anything I'm saying right now. Could you do the setup part where you want the tassels to start?
So what you basically do is you cut in between. So yeah. I know the people listening can't hear. There's this section that's all just like it goes
lines.
Lines. And you go into the middle of that and you cut it and then you unravel it so the lines become different tassels. So and I then it's see. Supposed to be pretty even on both sides and you trim them. So.
That's actually quite brilliant because like a lot of the steeking is like what do you do with those edges when you're done? And it's kind of neat that they created this thing where purposefully leaving those
like
ends.
The steeking has a purpose.
Right. Like those bits hanging off the end.
No, and it's cool too because it's like, you know, you can do color work without having a do like a garter type color work thing, which I hate doing. So it works out. Tina?
I'm doing the same thing as Drea. The end. No, actually, no. No, I'm actually, I can say this. I am closing it. I have one repeat of one set of repeat to do before I'm at the spider butt.
Nice. Ooh, spider butt.
Yeah.
Give yourself a hand.
Thank you so much.
We are almost there.
No, because I've been in this section for a very long time where Drea flew through that section in like 3 days. So it took me a really long time to get through this section. But I finally did. Hey. So I'm about to hit the number to go to the last repeat. So I'm excited.
Nice.
That's it.
Awesome. And if any of you want to see pictures of our current projects or get more information about Pardon My Stash, be sure to check out our website, pardonmystash.com, for info, pics, patterns, and yarns. All right. So this week we are going to talk about those terrible tangled yarn experiences that all of us have.
That's going to be the entire episode, guys.
It's all of it. All of it.
Lots of sad trombones.
We've all been there. We have all been there. You don't know it because that's not the thing that we post pictures about all the time. Although in hindsight, some of the things we probably should, because I'm sure in hindsight they're hilarious. But at the time... not so much. At the time, you're wanting to throw everything out the window and burn it.
So this is an episode about laugh crying about past experiences.
Things that we can actually look at and laugh about now and not like sob uncontrollably. So, my personal fave was when the Umbrella Swift decided that the pins didn't want to be there anymore.
I forgot about that.
I was going to say, you were there.
I forgot. It literally just fell apart while you were winding.
Half of it collapsed. The other half was trying. It was hanging on. There's yarn was, I don't even know what it was doing, like half on, half off. There are things sticking out. Like, you ever see an umbrella where like one of it bees free of its confine of the umbrella cloth? Yeah, that's what it was kind of doing. It was like sticking out.
That Swift had given us several years of good, you know, good service.
Yeah, but you know,
it decided to retire dramatically.
Is that what we're calling?
Well, and that Swift too, you know, that was a beautiful Swift. That was the one your dad bought Christmas. And the one thing about that Swift that always killed me was that it didn't clamp to anything. So you would be spinning and it would kind of be like, edging its way to the edge of the table, and you're like, can you please just sit there quietly and not move? And what it would be like, nope, great. Here we go.
It was like when you had the full skein, like when you first started, it was fine because it was held by the weight of the skein. And mm-hmm. as the skein got like less and less,
it started to do its shuffle.
Walking, and you're like, I either got to stop my mojo and like push it back, or I got to like play that game of chicken and see if I can finish the skein before it walks off the edge of the table. And you know what? We won some, we lost some. Yeah.
Usually lost. It was a good swift. Pour one out for the swift.
It was a good swift.
It was a good swift. I like the one we have now better. It's a better swift.
Oh, it's such a good swift. Now.
But yeah, that one, it gave us many years of good service. It just, yeah. It did have the side dance, and
it,
I don't know what happened that day. It just decided it was time. Yeah,
like a pin just disappeared and the whole thing just
collapsed.
It was like slow motion. I saw the pin go one arm half collapse, and then the whole thing just
the swift just had like went. An existential crisis. Like all at once, it just collapsed.
It's like, well, my time is done.
I have a story slightly related to an umbrella swift. But I was trying to wind a skein of yarn, and so I went to go put it on the swift, and when I went to go put it on the swift, I don't know what happened. I misjudged distance, but I went to like put it on, I had it on one side, and I went to go wrap it on the other, and I completely missed, and the other side was just the edge of the table, so then thing just went completely down, and then this side decided, nah, I don't want to stay on, and it just went down, and it actually pulled the swift off, because that's where the clamp was, and it just, the yarn weight just like completely pulled the swift off.
Oh god! Oh god!
The blue one that
one that you have now. Yeah.
Throw the rest of the yarn too.
It was like literally like I was like, okay, this is gonna be great, and then I'll just and that was the last time when I load the yarn. I don't load it from the back. I go from the side where the edge is hanging off, not from the side that it's on the table. That was the lesson I learned.
It was just mad. It just said no.
So I have that swift now.
Congratulations.
Let me tell you, it has burned me as well.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to, I didn't give it to you for that. You just didn't have a swift at all.
Before I even had it, like it was still in your office at your house.
Yes.
I think you guys were on vacation and I was winding yarn for Frank's hat, the green and gray one.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes.
And you know how, like, the swift doesn't stay umbrellaed out?
No. No, it doesn't.
So
It doesn't like, so the, I to explain that, there's a middle part that is supposed to clamp in the middle and hold the thing out.
Yeah, it slides and up like an umbrella.
No, I have one of those black, like, big clips that I put underneath it to give it some extra oomph.
Yeah, it's a little binder clip, like a butterfly clip.
Hey, you know what? Go with what works.
Yep.
But when I was winding one of these skeins of yarn, you know, the 100 ravens that it is.
Oh, God.
That middle clamp just decided, yeah, I'm not doing this anymore.
See ya!
And like mid-wind, it just collapses and it becomes like a complete tangled mess. Mm. And I left it there for like an hour.
Oh yeah, no. There is no coming back from that.
Look, like, mom, a center pole. Down.
Barlow came in and he was like, what's going on?
Not now, Barlow.
We're having dramatic crying in here.
I was so sad. And Frank had come in because I had gone upstairs to wind the yarn. And I hadn't come down for a while. And he's like, I'm just checking on you.
I'm inwardly raging right now.
As you can see, things are going great.
So the fun part is, the reason why you ended up with that swift is because I got my squirrel cage swift.
Yes.
Which, if you don't know what a squirrel cage swift is a freestanding vertical swift, and it has two wheels that hold tension apart to hold the yarn hank in place so that you can wind it into a cake. But let me tell you, even the squirrel cage swift has problems.
Yeah.
And the first time I wasn't used to, there wasn't no how to on the squirrel cage. And I don't know if there is at this point now that it's been out for a little bit and it's gotten more popular.
There's a YouTube video.
There's a YouTube there video now. YouTube there was video. No YouTube video.
I didn't watch it, but there was,
there were instructions, I disregarded them, but they are there.
I can figure this out. I could tell. I'm telling you right now, when I got mine, there was no instructions. The only instructions were to put it together, not how to actually use it. So I was like trying to use it and I was like, okay, so I think I got the gist, you know, like make sure it's tensioned. Well, so I thought I had it tensioned enough. I did not.
Yeah.
And so it was like, oh, you don't need me on this. And so I started spinning. And then like as soon as it started spinning, it just yeeted it itself,
off the edge. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
And I went, oh.
My favorite was when I didn't, like I was adjusting it and I forgot once I adjusted it because I got a good tension on it. So I forgot to actually tighten the wheel. So as it's like going, all of a sudden the wheel drops and I was like, oh, that was on me. I also don't always use the wrench. So this is a user error. Like the Swift itself is amazing. Are you always supposed to use
the wrench?
You're supposed to. I never do. I do the double pull where you hold one side and hold the other side and you twist in opposite directions. But I may use the wrench every once in a while.
I straight up hold the knob on the other side and I just go twist.
I cannot with you because honest to God, like you will sit there with a stupid Lego booklet and be like, I will read every one of these 8,000 instructions. But the Swift, you're like, I'm just going to wing it like everything in my life.
Like, listen, like, every leaf needed to be in the correct spot.
But here's the thing. Like, I'm not a good directions person. I'll admit that. I really am. But you are. And that's why I'm like, I don't understand.
You just twist the screw. I don't get it. And... mainly because I know me and I don't know where that wrench is right now. I'm pretty sure it's on the fireplace somewhere. I'm just not positive.
I think that is the thing I found the other day and I went, what is this for? Oh my God. No, I didn't throw it out. I went, I probably need this.
It's just a little flat wrench. And I know. It's like a little flat wrench. It's very small.
It's sitting on my craft table. I put it in a little box and I said, I might need this later.
Right, watching you two have this epiphany about this wrench is one of the funniest things I've seen in a while.
I'm just saying, you know, this I will totally own up to user error.
Same.
That thing can yeet yarn if you don't have the tension right. Like it just flies.
I mean, it does go at an incredible speed, which is good because you can get the cake done fast. Which is bad if you haven't set it up correctly, because it will literally fly. It will fly across the room. Take it from me and Jess, who apparently have experience with
that. It has, and I'm sitting there like, no, that didn't happen. What? No, it's the yarn's fault.
You know what it is? It's the yarn dyer's fault. They wound it wrong.
Oh my God. So can I tell you? No, I used to do that all the time. I did that all the time. It was terrible. I'd be like, oh, who wound this? Yeah. Not realizing that most yarn comes in already like wound hanks.
No, it's the dyer's fault.
No, I'm telling you. But that's the thing. Like earlier today, I was having a problem winding and I was sitting there and I'm like, I know it's not the dyer. Can these like... manufacturers not do this? Like, can they not like triple weave in before they tie the knots? And you know what, like I do not have patience. That's not true. I just use it all up at work. That is unfortunate, like, because that's the thing, I have to. I have to have patience at work. I can't just like haul off and yell at a bunch of teenagers. I'll get in trouble for that. But then I come home and the last thing I want to do is wrestle with some yarn, like, because I will verbally abuse that
just
yarn.
Just turn into a cake. 100
times. Put you in the oven. You should be a cake now.
The Swift is an oven.
The Swift is an oven. I don't know if you know this.
Oh my God.
And sometimes when the yarn yeets, I just tell myself that the yeast overflowed the pan and I just put the, yeah, okay.
Oh my God.
Me.
No.
It's just me.
Tina, this metaphor is like running away from
you.
You
gotta mix it.
You know, though, when we started calling these cakes, like Mariel would come up when she was like maybe two. And she'd pick it up and be like, delicious cake. Yum, 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 yum. And it was really cute. Anyway, that's a tangent.
See?
That's a tangent.
I'm not the only, I'm just, my mind is that of a 2-year-old.
Well, we knew that.
Oh, God.
Oh,
yeah.
My head.
No. So I have an unswift winding, not a winding related tangle.
At the time, it was awful,
well, no, I wasn't going to tell that one. No. I was going to tell
it can be any tangle. One. We just went on a swift tangent.
So back when I was knitting Calliope, and my lovely friend Mary was encouraging me to do two at a time sleeves. She had done them herself. She said, you know, here's a tutorial. You're going to love it. You're never going to go back to doing sleeves one at a time. I said, fine, I'm going to do it. And I did do it. And it is a fantastic technique. Highly recommend. Mm. Figuring out a way to do it when you're already using two yarns held together was an adventure. because Calliope, as written, is knit with a strand of, I believe it's merino, and a strand of mohair. So you've already balanced, you're already doing two balls of yarn, but then when you're doing two at a time sleeves, you multiply that by two. So four balls of yarn. And I'm sitting on the couch and I'm trying to do this, and the balls are just rolling everywhere. And Jess is just watching me. I'm just swearing constantly as they're all tangling in each other. And of course, because I was knitting Calliope in a monochrome, they're all the same color, which is just making things that much better. And the technique I finally came up with to handle this was I put each sleeve's worth of yarn in a separate Ziploc bag.
Sandwich bags.
Man. And I just kept moving the sandwich bags around me. I don't know if that's a good method.
When the sleeves get long enough, you can
tuck them in. You can tuck them in.
But
yes.
They have to get long
enough. I wasn't there yet because you're starting way up at the top. It was, oh my God, it was such a mess. Anyway, the sleeves came out great. I was very happy with them when they were done, but just figuring out how to juggle four balls of yarn while you're also learning a new technique was not fun, and there were a lot of tangles.
I find that with doing two sleeves at a time, it is easier to do at least five rows on each sleeve, because then you can tuck.
Yeah.
Typically.
Right.
It gives you just enough of a give that you can tuck the yarn for that sleeve into that sleeve.
And you can get that underarm a bit tighter.
You get rid of that hole.
There's an underarm technique that you can do, but you really can't do it two at a time. You have to do it do that, resolve the holes first, and then yeah. There is a fantastic armhole. Under armpit hole technique on YouTube. I don't know the lady's name. It's just on my liked videos on my YouTube thing. So I will find that out and I'll give it to you, Meg, to put on the blog post. But it is like the best. Works every time. Makes my sweaters look A+. Can't go wrong.
Tangling a bunch of balls. Not doing that.
Just put me away.
That sounds bad
just
as it was.
Put me in a little
go sit on
chair.
The couch and think about what
I know.
You did.
Give me a hat.
Think about what
go
you've
me
done.
A dunce hat. I need a timeout.
Go sit and time out. Think about what you've done. Oh God.
Bad me.
Other disasters.
Dude, remember that bamboo yarn I had though?
Okay. Yes. That was back in the pre ball winder days.
In the long ago.
In the when, second year that we were all hanging out
in
knitting.
The land before time.
Way back in the
when
day.
I actually got a quote unquote fancy skein that was a skein and not an already made into a ball type.
Yeah, back when we weren't buying, this is back when we were still just strictly buying big box store yarn that's already in a center pull ball. And we went to, I think it was Hither and Yarn.
Oh yeah.
When it was still open and you bought that beautiful purple bamboo.
It was a beautiful
bamboo yarn.
Yep.
And of course she has to sit down and hand wind it.
Yeah, because you know, how else were you supposed to do it back then?
I think I might still have a picture of that on my Facebook, and if I have it, I'm gonna put
listen,
it
listen at the time too. Again, this was so long ago, guys. I don't even think I had a smartphone. Like,
you
know,
you didn't have a smartphone until we were dating.
Yeah,
so what
see?
Do you mean, like,
so yeah,
this is
so,
like 10 years before that,
so
man.
That was like all the things. So it was just like, okay, you open it, you kind of like put it on the floor in a circle, and then you wind it, and you just like make sure the wind like goes in a circle. And I forgot what happened,
But I pulled really hard and the circle collapsed on itself. And it was just a mess. But I couldn't cut it because it was nice yarn and I spent a lot for me on it at the time. So I spent the next like 2 hours just slowly unraveling that stupid thing. I don't know if I ever used that yarn at the end.
No, you didn't, because I remember a couple years ago we were going through the stash and I pulled it out and you were like, oh my God, get rid of it.
Yeah. So. But I still won and I rolled it into a ball. But, you know, that was a time.
I'm not going to do the sad one because you won.
I won. I rolled it. It was a beautiful little ball of yarn that sat next to its friend for the rest of eternity.
I
hope someone did get it and are enjoying it now because it was nice yarn. Like I
hope
like
someone like whoever ended up with it opened it and started using it and went, wow, what a nicely wound ball.
Nicely wound yarn. It's also bamboo, so you know, as it's doing that, you know, it's getting the fuzzes that connect it itself. And you're like, is this a knot? Is this just, it's fused to itself? Like, this is fantastic.
I was making a hat I was trying to make a 49ers hat. It was made out of alpaca yarn. This was before I realized I was allergic to alpaca yarn.
Do it. Just do it. Just hit it. Hit the thing.
I was like, okay, here I go. And if you've ever worked with alpaca yarn, it sheds like a mother.
Ooh, yeah, it does.
It do. And it started shedding and then it decided, oh, you know what? I know you made me into a cake, but all the shedding yarn you started tossing towards the cake and now all the shedded pieces are going to get tangled in the cake.
Phenomenal.
So then I was like, oh, it's tangled. Let me untangle this. It wasn't tangled. It was like a shedded piece had attached two pieces. And so it wasn't in a knot at all. It was just needed to literally be ripped apart. But because it's alpaca, you don't know if you're ripping apart the yarn or if you're ripping apart.
You're basically snatching it.
Is that what's wrong with that yarn?
That is exactly what's wrong with that yarn.
I have that project now. I still haven't finished it. I've had it for over a year. I was going to give it to somebody who is also a 49ers fan.
Yeah.
And I just...
Yeah. I don't think it's meant to be.
I think that needs to be burned.
I'm like in the decreases for the crown. Like,
oh, wow.
I'm in the home stretch.
Maybe that alpaca just didn't like the 49ers. And it's like, no!
No, it's going to be.
It fought its destiny.
Well, if you got that...
No.
Talking about barf. Drea's ball.
Wow.
No, it doesn't look like it's going to be that bad, though. It looks like it'll...
No, no, that deserved...
Out. I'm going to pull it.
Can you take a picture of that so that all of our listeners can see what just happened to Drea? Literally just...
Oh, man. All right. Yeah, no, pull
I'm going to pull it.
It might. It might.
I'm going to pull it. Try.
Here, hang on.
Are you going to video it?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see what happens.
Okay, ready?
It might be an okay one.
It might be okay. Let's see. Let's see how it does.
We're gonna see. Okay. That's promising.
Oh, I think it's okay.
Yeah. It's separated. It's separated. It's good. It just pulled out a double.
What about that
inside.
Side? What about that side? What about that side?
The ugly side. So, had a little bit of yarn barf. It resolved itself.
Hooray.
It looked way worse than what it actually was. So,
such apropos for this episode. You
know? I know.
Needed just a little bit of barf just to go with it.
Everything needs a little bit of barf.
Okay. Stop.
Rose, please no.
Oh, Lord.
Well, I mean, I could talk about when I've already pulled this project out, but I had a. Oldenburg sweater, which was made out of like a mint yarn, and the bottom of it, I was like, I'm totally done with this. This is totally fine. No, it's not.
No, it wasn't.
I missed an entire stitch. You did. Oh. And it rolled all the way back. I went, oh no. And so I was like, so I fixed it all the way down, but then there was a color change at the hem. So I was like, you know what we'll do? I'm gonna put a knot. And I put a knot.
How'd that work out?
It's unraveled. The entire project is unraveled.
I unraveled on the entire project because between that and like there was like a pulled stitch in one of the sleeves and like it was just no, it needed to come out. I might make it again because I really like that project, but I totally absolutely that was like its own barf, I swear, because like I had to like refix it and then like it just sat there with a knot at the bottom of it and I was like fantastic.
I think that's one of the most frustrating things when you really want a project to work out and it just keeps having problem after problem after problem. Mm-hmm. I don't have the patience for that. If I keep having issues with something, that's it for me. That's it. Like once I have corrected this problem, I think you said once on an earlier episode, like three problems, I'm out. And so I think that's fair though. I think that is fair because it's like, I said at the beginning of this episode, I've been on the struggle bus with knitting for a while and that's fine. But like when you're on the struggle bus with one project, you kind of get to the point where you're like, how much effort and stress am I really putting into this? And am I actually finding any joy in it at all?
Yeah.
And when you keep having issues with it. And that's actually what happened to me with the Celtic Myths shawl.
Yeah.
I made a mistake, and I mentioned this before we started the episode when you were here earlier tonight. And it took me like 3 weeks to go back and fix it. Wasn't a huge mistake. And I went back and I fixed it. And I'm like, okay, moving forward. And probably about 3 days later, I made another mistake and it was a bigger mistake. And I was like, you know what? I'm done. I'm done. I don't have the wherewithal to go back and pull this out. I don't want this project badly enough. Like I am all set.
I still have not blocked that.
I still have the yarn caked for that.
I mean, yeah, me too. Really?
Yeah.
You haven't worn it yet?
No.
Oh, why?
I haven't blocked it yet.
Okay, but why? It came out so good.
It like, did.
Why would you not?
I don't know.
So you're the only one that finished and won.
Like it's
spite.
It's done. The ends are woven in. I just never blocked it.
Because I did. That project was so boring, but I was like, no!
Finishing the stupid thing.
I've never heard her complain about a project so much. Oh my God. I mean, the whole
a
time.
A beautiful piece, but oh my God.
And you know what? I did mine so fast.
You did. Yeah.
You did.
You know what, though? Like, I mean, but I did that with Dark Academia, but it's because I was like, convinced it wouldn't fit, and that's why I just didn't block it.
Oh no, I'm just
lazy. I was convinced, like I had a reason. I'm like, I'm not gonna block it because it's not gonna, I know this isn't gonna fit me, so what's the point?
I just realized though, I never finished blocking my little like
I know, no you didn't just realize thing. Because you bring it up every 3 months and not, you go, I gotta have block it. That
yeah no because I couldn't find the steamer because I have to steam block it, and I found the steamer, I was like, oh cool, I can do that, and then I put
Jess.
The steamer away and still haven't done it.
Yes,
which project is it?
It is, so you remember her I am her Morganis, her I am dragon shawl, the one that
yeah it's like a
mini one version. It's like a cowl, like a cowl.
Oh,
and she
okay.
made that out of our yarn ranger in the colorway Morgan, so gotcha. It's like this nice like red and green color that's not Christmassy, it's more like autumnal, but then you have like a clamp on it like to close
oh
it.
I gotta get that too.
Jess, it's literally been like every couple of months you're like, I gotta block that.
I know, because
but
every
don't do it
because every couple of months I see it and it's boxed and I'm like, oh yeah, and then I move the box and I don't see it and I forget it exists again. But the talking about having stuff that have remained unblocked reminded me of it.
Oh my God.
I think that's like the 19th time I pressed that button tonight.
Oh my Lord. I think you kind of have to get to a point where you look at a project and you're like, not one that's done, absolutely, but that you haven't done in a while, and you just kind of have to come to terms with like, I'm not going to finish this. I'm not going to finish this.
Wait.
Let me just rip it out.
I'm gonna play the noise first because that's how sad this is. Hold on a second.
Oh, pre-trombone. Oh, no.
The Silva Cammy.
Pour one out for the Silva Cammy.
Pour one out. I did wind it back up. Yeah,
you know what? That was such great yarn, though. Like deserves a project.
That yarn.
I'm glad
needs
you were able
to be
harvest
something
it.
Else. It's So for the Silva Cami, that I actually had two skeins of yarn held out for that. So I feel like, and Drea, you could tell me this. How many yards on average does it take to make a pair of socks, adult socks?
So usually a fingering weight skein of yarn has like, what?
Usually about a little less than 440. Yeah. Somewhere around there.
And I can make a whole pair of socks with a skein of yarn.
Then
with some leftover, depending on like the length of the
cuff
of the leg. Yeah.
Because I think what I could do is I could make myself a pair of socks and I could make the girls a pair of socks. Ooh. And then we could have cutesy little matchy socks. But then I would make socks for my kids who would not appreciate it and they would destroy the socks.
Well, you should make a pair of socks for you and a pair of socks for me.
Well, I will just make, how would I just make two pairs of socks for myself? How's that?
I don't need your socks. just a suggestion.
I'll make four socks and everybody gets one sock. How's that?
Beautiful.
And y'all can share. Beautiful. How's that? Everybody gets a little sock. We'll use them as stockings. They'll be part of my stash stockings. A little.
I have a womp womp sock story.
Okay, hold on.
No, you don't need to do it. So we've talked before about, you know, their wedding, and Jess made shawls for me. She made shawls for everybody. Yes. At this table, pretty much. That was kind of our plan from the get-go. Is I helped pick the yarn and the patterns, and then I said go, and she made all the shawls. That was all of my contribution. So as we got closer to the date, I decided I wanted to make her a pair of socks, because at the time I wasn't knitting shawls, and I was knitting socks, which I don't knit anymore. So I picked out, it was called Spring Forward, I think is the pattern. It's a really pretty pattern. It's free on Knitty. And I made it out of this beautiful yarn, and I cannot remember what the brand was anymore. It was gorgeous navy blue. It matched the vest that she wore for the wedding. It matched the shawl she made for me. And they came out really nice, I thought. They did. And she wore them the day of the wedding, and go back to the hotel room at the end of the night, and she takes them off, and I am, for whatever reason, and I know how to do it, but my nemesis is the Kitchener stitch. Like, I can't do it. Every time I do it, something goes wrong and it falls apart. So we got back to the hotel room, she takes her shoes off, and the entire toe is gone from one of the socks I knitted her. Like, it's just gone. Like, so completely unraveled.
I noticed the hole when we were doing makeup.
Oh, you didn't tell me.
Of course I didn't, because you were going to tell me to take it off, and I wasn't taking it off. I wear those socks all dang night.
That's really sweet, and I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, and I tried like a quick mend and folding it, but I could feel it like the whole night.
This thing is like,
and I felt but so Jess bad. I'm ruining it, but I'm not. And the other one was fine, but that one was like,
yeah, no, I don't know what it is. It happens, and that's probably one of the reasons why I don't like knitting socks anymore, because I will be so careful, and somehow I will still screw it up.
I'm also super acidic, so I mean.
And yeah, but that wasn't your fault. That was my fault. Wait a second. No. She melts jewelry, man. No, like, literally. Awful. Her wedding ring is made out of
Damascus steel,
because she'll just melt gold.
Yeah, gold is gone.
No, she will.
So you are a dragon.
Silver is pretty much gone. Gotcha. It's like, or it, like, I'll take it off and it'll be like warped.
Yeah.
It's like, why?
So when we were looking for wedding rings, we were like, we got to find something super durable.
My pH levels are stupid.
So, yeah, but that wasn't your fault. That was my fault. It's me like messing up the toe of a sock again. And I know, because I've done it multiple times. So. But did I fix them? No, I didn't. She still has them.
I do.
I didn't fix it.
It's the memory of the sock. It's
Now I know it was the memory of the sock falling off her foot all night, and I feel bad.
It wasn't falling off my foot. It was,
I feel bad.
Disintegrating up my foot.
Well, anyway, it was the thought that counts, I guess.
Dude, I love it.
Whatever.
It was so good.
Oh, I got one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
I have a Frances story. Yep, it's another sock story. He was a baby. He was probably only about 4 months. We'd probably only had him about 4 months.
I'm going to keep you in this, Francis.
And I was trying to knit. I was knitting socks for Jess. And it was, I don't even remember what the pattern was. I was really struggling with it. Like I had had to tear it out like three times and restart. And Francis, unnoticed to me, grabbed the loose end of the ball in his mouth and just ran. And the whole thing fell off the needles and he just ran away with it. And that was the end of that. Like, I literally just got upset. I got upset. Like, Francis didn't know why we were both upset because he was a baby. And he was like, I don't know what's going on. I'm just trying to play with some string.
But you can't play with string. It's
not he's actually, I can't remember a time since then that he's ever tried that. But it was like that one time. And I was just like, you know what? I'm done. This is it. Like, that was probably the third or fourth time that something had gone wrong with those socks, and I was just done. I never tried to do that pattern again.
Three times you're out.
Yep. That was the end.
One I was thinking about was I was doing Sweater of Swords and he wanted cuddles and he jumped into my lap when I did not see him coming and landed right on it and pulled the color work and took me a good 20 minutes of pulling the color work back because it all disappeared into itself.
He also destroyed your Shawloween. Remember? Did he tore a whole section out of it.
No, that wasn't him.
Who was that?
That was baby girl. She jumped in
my
lap.
Oh, that was Tabby?
No, that was Mariel.
It was Mariel.
She was in my lap and she put her head back and then she pulled it forward and her ponytail got caught on my needle.
Oh, and I thought that was Frances.
She pulled one of the needles forward and it just pulled everything off.
She had to rip back the entire section. Yep, the whole thing back to the start.
Yarn over twice, two together. And I could not figure out in that where the drop stitches were.
Nobody
it was
could.
Just, I gave it a good attempt and I was like, nope, you know what? And I was
and she was almost done. She was almost done with the section. She had to go back and do the whole thing again.
I was like, that went away for like a day and then I went back to it. But yeah, that was.
I don't know if I would have recovered from that. I think I might have given up.
That one was tough because I hated that section. I hate doing the double yarn over.
Double yarn overs are a pain in the neck. They really are.
It looks great, but I'm like, but it is. If you drop it, it's like, oh God, where is it? Which one of these is the knit two? Which one of these is the yarn over part? What is happening?
Yep. But do you remember like a billion years ago when you were living in Bristol?
Yes.
Tempest.
Okay.
No. So Meg had a cat named Tempest. She was perfect. She was a black cat and she was an angry old lady she wasn't old.
Beautiful.
She
flawless. I was sitting on the couch. And I was knitting a pair of socks using Socks That Rock. It was like gorgeous yarn. And Tempest tried to like take a bite out of it.
Which was weird for her because she never did that. Ever. That was like the one time in her many, many years that she ever tried to bite yarn.
So then I swatted at her to get her away from the yarn. And then she jumped up on the back of the couch.
No, she was already there.
Yeah,
she tried swiping it from behind you.
Oh, did she?
She reached down over
I
your shoulder.
It was next to
me. No, because when you did that, she actually like looked at you for a minute. Like
she like, had, no, you could see this cat was like angry.
Because you didn't
that
notice.
She got
you pushed her away and she kind of like tipped her head and looked at you.
And then she took a bite out of the back of my head.
Yeah, oh my God.
She did. She looked at you like this bitch. And then just, you could see her think about it because it was slow. Like she legit just opened her mouth and took a very deliberate bite
out of the back of my head.
And she was not a biter either.
No,
she was not a biter. But her face was like the audacity.
How dare you?
And she never did anything like that again. Like ever.
So bizarre,
she never went after yarn. She never chewed yarn or attacked projects. But man, like. One time.
Jeez,
she was mad.
Like, oh man. And that's all the time we have for this episode. For additional content and opportunities to connect with the cast, be sure to check out our website at pardonmystash.com. And remember to tune in next time for more tips, knits, and wits at Pardon My Stash.